You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? We like it heavyweighty.
I don't know why I was expecting more there, but I think that opening is sort of the reaction to a lot of the fan base when it comes to this main event between Jarzyna Rozenstrike and Shamil Gadzhiev. And I'm here to tell you, I totally understand it, but I do think it's going to be a fun fight. We'll talk about that and much more here on the UFC Vegas 87 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. Hello, everybody. I am Mike Heck out on my mother-in-law's balcony doing the show this week because there's Wi-Fi here and I don't have any other choice. But I am joined by Mr. Jed Meshew, Mr. Hot Take, Mr. No Gray Area in the ATL. Hello, and hello to Mom as well.
Hello, Mike. Expecting more. That is a great phrase when we're talking about an Apex card.
Yes. And speaking of great, my best friend is here as well, Mr. Alexander K. Lee, our weigh-in guru. Weigh-ins just wrapped up, AK, but no drama, was there?
Nope. 22 of 22, everyone on point. I'm a little disappointed in that intro by our main man, Casey, in the truck. I was expecting a little more energy there. We got some contenders on here. Maybe not in the main and co-main, but we got some contenders. We got guys who could be fighting for UFC titles before the end of the year. So, sneaky, important card in a way, and I think people will, if they're strategic with how they decide to tune in, they're going to have some storylines to be talking about come Monday morning.
We like our martial arts. Sneaky important.
Yes.
Yeah, sneaky better. Important.
Yes.
Right. Look, it's a good card. There's a lot of good things happening on this fight card, just not the main event.
Yeah, and I was just going to have you sort of expound on that, Jed, and AK, you could have the same thing. We'll get the gymnastics scale. So I guess we'll start with the Meshulam scale, Jed, on this one, because look, the main event, it's heavyweights. Jarzyna Rozenstrike's had a lot of main events for the UFC. A lot of them have taken place at the Apex. Shamil Gadzhiev, this is only his second UFC fight, and he gets himself a main event at the world's most famous Apex. But the UFC just likes to do this. And this fight's probably not going to round three. If it does, it's going to be the funniest fight of all time. But it's probably not going to round three, so I get it. Like, they're hoping for just some momentum and a quick finish at the end. But take that aside, because there's really not a lot of stakes here. The rest of the card is just fun. Like, there's some really compelling matchups. There are a lot of stakes in a lot of these fights. So for you, UFC Vegas 87, what's the Meshulam star scale here? Do we even get a star, half a star? Where are we at?
It doesn't get a star. I mean, you could convince me. It's got some things going for it, right? Like, we got a couple of, you know, top 15 flyweight matchups, like two top 15 guys on either side, assuming they make it to the cage. Machinal and Alex Perez have historically had a very difficult time actually getting into the octagon, and we've made weight, but Schnell needed the box. So, knock on wood, this all follows through. But, like, those are some quality matchups. Bunch of undefeated prospects. Prospect might be loose for somebody like Shamil Gadzhiev, who's 34, but a bunch of undefeated fighters coming along. I mean, we've talked about a lot this week. seems like Muhammad Mahayev might actually just get a title fight if he can go out there and get an impressive win. So a lot of stakes, and critically, the most important thing about this, the entirety of it, 1 p.m. Eastern. I mean, could you ask for more? You wake up, you get some waffles like our boy EKC over there. You enjoy them. You watch the first F1 race. Bahrain's going to go down at 10 a.m. Eastern. You get up there, you watch Max Verstappen pick up a W. You have some fun. You rev the engines up to get into Al-Sawaidi, Radzibov, and then you're just off to the races. We're done by like 6. You can have an evening. You can go watch Dune 2 or whatever it is you're going to do on your Saturday night. It's going to be a beautiful little Saturday.
Yes. Waffles. Yes, look at delightful waffles. Yes, the syrup traps all over those waffles, as we talked about earlier. AK, where are you at gymnastics scale-wise? And we're obviously going to talk about the stakes in Mahayev and Perez, more so for the Mahayev side. Although Brandon Roybal threw us a little bit of a curveball on social media a little while ago. We'll discuss that as well. But gymnastics scale for UFC Vegas 87.
Let's go solid, like 8.2. I think that's fair. This is talking top to bottom. Main card's like a little higher. If you were only to watch the main card, I think you could go like, you know, 8.5. But we re-rate the whole cards here. And, you know, no disrespect to the prelim portions. Just a little lacking in star power. And frankly, lacking in fights that I'm confident will necessarily turn out to be like bangers. But there are names to watch in the prelims. There's a name to watch the main card that's exciting. So I'm going like 8.2, which seems to be mostly in line with the people. I threw up a poll here. Simply, what's your grade for the UFC Vegas 87 lineup? A, 11%, surprisingly, have A. But otherwise, it's B and C are tied with around 32 to 34% each. It's fluctuating right now. D or lower, 23%. I think that's a little harsh. I think anyone calling this card a D or lower, maybe just judging it by the main event. Otherwise, I think B or C is the right grade here. So I'll say 8.2 overall for UFC Vegas 87.
Jed, do you like that score? You had a face on, but
it was just... No, I don't. I'm in the process of trying to Google gymnastic routines that scored eight. So I could just send the video to AK and be like, you're telling me that this card maxes out. It's going to be as dope as this thing that is happening on your page in front of you. But I'm having a little trouble finding that. Rest assured, I will discover what an eight is in gymnastics.
No, your lack of gymnastics knowledge is failing you now, because that's the thing. It's the scale in gymnastics, really, if we're talking about like at a professional level, it's not going to go lower than... It shouldn't go lower than eight unless something went horribly wrong. So
don't come at me about my gymnastics knowledge, AK.
You don't have it.
I've been Googling furiously for the last two minutes, and here's how you're going to be hoisted by your own petard. Your difficulty rating is never going to be higher than a 6, according to the internet. So, your 8 point, that's just blowing the difficulty rating out of the thing. Your own scale is backwards. This whole courtroom's out of order. Don't come at me, AK.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. They're rated out of 10. Nadia Comaneci, come on.
Execution is rated out of 10. Execution is rated out of 10, good sir. Total score is difficulty plus execution minus penalties.
Yeah, it's all together, my friend. It's all together. You got to count it all. It's not just degree of difficulty. It's, it's rooted in that.
But execution plus degree of difficulty minus penalties. I'm looking at it right here on my screen.
I know. And that's why the final score is different. That's why I'm saying if at the end, after it's all added up, it could be an 8.2. I'm not saying it maxed out at 6. Oh, even the best card can only be a 6. That makes no sense. That's not how it works.
I think that this card should max out at 6 is what I'm saying.
But then you're saying that's extremely high degree of difficulty. So now you're saying it's the best card possible is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying the difficulty score is high, but then the execution added to the difficulty could get you somewhere better.
So you're saying on paper this is an elite lineup.
No, we should in fact bring this lower. You're right. My number is incorrect of 6. Okay, it should be like a 2. But the point being, that there's not a world on Saturday where I can envision this coming out to be like, here's an 8. This was good. This was a good card stuff.
8 just means like I had a good time. Like I had a good time. I don't regret watching. I saw some memorable finishes. Some contenders stepped up. Maybe people got just, who are undefeated. Too undefeated. And I'm very positive when it comes to these cards. Like I don't regret most of the UFC cards I think we've watched in the past. I'm trying to think, 2023, we watched what, 40 something UFC cards? That's probably like 7 or 8. I probably count them one on both hands, like the amount that I was like,
what
oh,
about
I wish
this
I
had year.
This year,
what
I
about
mean,
the cards you've watched in 2024, aka?
I don't think we've had that many like truly terrible ones.
The first like 3 or 4 events were pretty tough.
I think the only like good Sean one
Strickland,
we've had
if Sean Strickland
in the last
DDP
2 weeks.
Was not as close as it was. If Sean Strickland DDP wasn't as close as it was, this would be an awful start for 2024. But it,
the last two weeks have been good. City.
Yeah, 297, I can't be trusted. I was there live. I had my own thing going on. And it was certainly depressing. It was particularly depressing for a Canadian fan. So I'll give you guys 297. Definitely not a sterling start to the pay-per-view calendar. But we're about to hit some good ones coming up. And I don't think, Saturday is terrible. But again, I am putting a lot of weight, obviously, on the main card. I think there's people who are looking at the prelims and just kind of scratching their heads and being like, well, I'll wait till 4 ET to tune in. So, and I don't blame anyone who does that.
I will say part of my also sort of disregard for this card, because it does a lot of the things that I enjoy, right? It's like 11 fights. Still, like maybe we lose one and we're down to the perfect 10. That's ideal. But, 11 fights is still a good number. 13 is way too many. But also a lot of these matchups aren't that competitive on the undercard. Like the odds are super long on a lot of the fights this weekend, which is, it doesn't always tell the full story, but it gives you a pretty good idea of what you can expect as far as compelling matchups go. So a little bit of a downer.
And I think if they flipped this card with Mexico City, like if they did this card, then Mexico City, then 299, I think people would look at this card a little different. But then it was Mexico City, then this card, then 299. Like people are just like, we need this card to end so we can get to 299, because that's what everyone's looking forward to. So it's tough being a go-home show, but that's kind of what this has become. And I guess I'll ask you, Jed, like what are Jarezinho, Rozenstruik, and Shamil Gadzhiev actually fighting for here? Someone asked me on Heck of a Morning, is this a matchup for the Derek Lewis sweepstakes? And I assure you, my answer was, no matter what happens to Jarezinho Rozenstruik, he should be fighting Derek Lewis. Win, lose, draw, it doesn't matter. His next fight should be against Derek Lewis. But the way the UFC is thinking about this, I could 1,000,000% see a world where they're like, hey, Shamil, good win. Now you get to fight Derek Lewis in another Apex main event. Do you think that's like what these two are fighting for? A Derek Lewis Apex main event? Like, if not, what else are they fighting for outside of a second paycheck?
I did not think about that at all. The disrespect that we've been showing to Jairzinho Rozenstruik, by the way, this man, this is his 6th main event in the UFC. That is more than every non-John Jones champion in the UFC right now. Thank you very much, sir. So they're fighting to continue that lineage and to keep main eventing things. Yeah, it's probably Derek Lewis. That's cool. I'd feel a lot better about this fight card if it was Derek Lewis versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik in the main event. It'd be weird. Derek Lewis probably shouldn't fight in the Apex. Like, he should be in front of crowds. But it would make me feel a little bit better if that was the capper, even though I think the main event, it's going to end quickly. Like, it will end within the first couple of rounds. It'll be a knockout. We'll get to finish the afternoon on something exciting. So, but yeah, they're not fighting for anything. I mean, Jairzinho is just fighting to hang around, right? Like, just want pick up wins, lose wins, kind of stay in this I can main event Apex cards. Gadzhiev is, undefeated. He's fighting for something real here. If he can get this win, I don't think much of his prospects moving up the division, but, he gets a win over a named dude, a dude who's been ranked for a while. Now maybe he can climb the ladder. Maybe he does get Derek Lewis. Maybe instead they just say, all right, let's give you any other dude who's kind of top 15-ish and let's start. Let's see how you fare before Derek Lewis. But yeah, I mean, they're not fighting for anything significant. They're fighting for 2 paychecks.
Yeah, because neither of these guys are fighting John Jones. Neither of these guys are fighting Tom Aspinall. None of them are going to fight Almeida Blades. I mean, maybe the loser of that fight is like the best thing rankings-wise. They're not fighting Stipe. They're not fighting Ciryl Gane. Like, it's just to, like, fight for that one spot, AK? Like, what are the stakes here? outside of just no stakes,
and that's okay. That's okay. It's the stakes are, you know, it matters to the guys involved in the fight. That is the faintest phrase I can give to it. Gaziev trying to stay undefeated. Rozenstruik definitely trying to stay relevant. Frankly, if not just the Derek Lewis sweepstakes, but this would be 4 out of 5 if he loses. And again, when you're a heavyweight with knockout power in the UFC, it's fine. It's not a death sentence or anything. It's not like he's going to get cut if he loses this fight. They like Jairzinho. He'd probably have to lose 2 more times. He'd probably have to go like 2 and 6 or something to go to finally let him go, because they like him. And as Jed pointed out, heavyweights just make for, at least in their minds, obvious main eventers. Like that stat floating around this week of the he has more main events than all these champions and stuff is so stupid. And it doesn't mean anything. It just says how many cards there are and what an inherent advantage being a big boy, or a biggie boy in this case,
a biggie boy
when the UFC is making their main event calendar, right? They're like, oh, heavyweights always go last. So it doesn't like mean anything, but it also kind of says a lot about how the UFC stuff works these days. So I'm with I shouldn't read this name, but Girthy Meats in the comments, who says, I'm so sorry.
Wow. Wow.
That could refer to anything. Apex
we're,
card.
We're demonetized now, AKA.
That could refer to anything. A nice juicy sausage. They say,
wow.
Apex
that's
cards.
Not much better, bro.
Apex cards.
Worse.
They say Apex cards shouldn't count as an actual main event. I know that sounds disrespectful to many of the fine fighters who have headlined Apex cards, including during the pandemic era where they had pay-per-views in there. But I kind of agree with that. It's like we've got card inflation. We've got cards that aren't in front of people. Rozenstruik, you know, congratulations. It's 6 UFC main events. Technically, you cannot take that away from him. That is a stone cold fact. But it certainly doesn't mean what it used to headline a UFC show in 2024.
I've lost my train of thought with that individual's handle.
There's no stakes, Mike. There's no stakes.
Yes, there's fair enough.
Sounds there's like no there's some girthy stakes.
I was going to say, there's no girthy meats on the line. No stakes.
Well, you could enjoy a girthy steak while you watch this main event. Shamil Gaziev is the -175 favorite, according to our good friends at DraftKings. Use the code the MAR, get yourself a little bit of a dealio. Jairzinho Rozenstruik comes back at +145. AK Lee, who leaves the world's most famous Apex with their hand raised in the final fight?
I don't know. For any listeners of No Bets Barred, I did a bad thing, and I listened to the show, which is a great show. Jen Connor covering all the betting bases. But even before the show, I had spoken to Jed and I said, we got some undefeated people on here. You know, Gaziev capped it off. We also got Vitor Petrino. Oh, we got Umar, and we got Javid Basharat. So I don't want to say my predictions, which will go up. Morning are like 5 undefeated fighters stay that way so that I can win like $10. I think Jairzinho just has a little bit too much high level experience for him. The potential for Gaziev wrestling does concern me. One, because again, it would he pulled off the upset, and two, I think it could be a boring fight. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic there. But Gaziev has got some wrestling on him. Rozenstruik's takedown defense is like not terrible. I know people will look at the Almeida fight, but Gaziev is not Almeida. But he does have some wrestling. So I will trust that Rozenstruik can keep the standing, and I'm expecting this to go to end quickly. Let's say Jairzinho, first round knockout. Your guess is as good as mine.
Jed, where are you at here? I know you have some bets. I assume there's an under bet here, or a fight does not go the distance bet coming from you. This is not a heavyweight over fight, I would assume, from your face right there as I say that. What happens here? Pick a fighter. How does he win? What goes down tomorrow?
It's not a heavyweight over fight. Jairzinho Rozenstruik and Gaziev are both enemies of heavyweight over nation. So, we're not betting that, but we're also just not going to bet it because like it could go long. It's heavyweight. Anything can always get real weird. I have a bet on Gaziev because I have him in the five undefeated fighter parlay. I also realized after the fact that this was a failure of me personally as a human being because, one, I'm not really sure he's going to win. And so I made it really clear on No Bets Barred. If the other four legs cash, I am absolutely hedging with a bet on Jairzinho Rosenstrike, both because I kind of think he's going to win. and because what I actually should have done is I should have left him out and I should have done the four undefeated fighter parlay. And then I should have done the boy parlay of Biggie Boy and Ya Boy parlayed together because both of them are on this card and God loves a gimmick. So do I. Dude, if you just watch Gaziev fight, this comes down entirely to how good is his chin? Because we don't really know. Like, he hasn't really been cracked a bunch, but he's going to because he certainly doesn't keep his hands up, and he just kind of wades in with his chin out in the air. And Jairzinho Rosenstrike isn't brilliant, but he's going to be able to at least tag him probably. But Rosenstrike doesn't have the world's greatest chin either, and Gaziev – he throws hard, man. Every punch he throws, it's the hardest punch that he can possibly throw. So if he connects, Jairzinho will go down. If he doesn't, and he'll just probably be gassed out by the, like, four-minute mark. So I think Jairzinho is going to win this, like, one way or the other. But maybe Gaziev just has a real good chin and then just gets him. So I will say, for the sake of it, Jairzinho Rosenstrike, KO round two.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Ooh.
So I kind of feel like Gadziev's going to win, but I also feel like this fight will be for the Derek Lewis sweepstakes. And I need, like, the fact that we haven't had Derek Lewis versus Jairzinho Rosenstrike yet, I don't understand. I don't get it. It's so easy. It's such an easy fight to make. It's a fight everybody unanimously wants, and it has never been made. So I'm just putting out that positive energy so that we do get to see Derek Lewis versus Jairzinho Rosenstrike. So I will say Jairzinho Rosenstrike wins. Round one knockout. I have no confidence in that pick. Do not tail that at all. This is just a positive vibes bet so that we get Biggie Boy versus the Black Beast sooner rather than later. Give it to us. We deserve it. And that would be fun. So that's what I'm doing. But I do kind of think Gadziev's going to win.
Jairzinho round one KO plus 320 over on DraftKings.com. Use promo code the MMA Hour.
Oh, well, there you go. A little spicy one for you. Look, no disrespect to Tyson Pedro and Vitor Petrino. I think we kind of know what that fight's going to look like. They're just going
to be fun as hell.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great fight. Again, a fight with no real stakes. It's just going to be a really fun co-main event. Matt Schnell, Steve Irsay could have some stakes, but that's going to be super fun, I think. But I think the two fights that everyone has circled on this card, and we mentioned one of them, featured bout Alex Perez versus Muhammad Makhachev. Makhachev, the undefeated young up-and-comer, wants to become the youngest champion in UFC history. I don't think it's actually possible for him to do that. But he could find himself in a title fight because, Jed, as we say all the time, availability is your best friend when it's needed. And boy, Muhammad Makhachev, if he can find himself available, especially coming off a win over Alex Perez for UFC 301 in May, he might find himself in a title fight against Alexander Pantoja, who right now doesn't have anybody to fight. Brandon Royval had recently said, I think he came out today and tweeted, my knee is good, I could fight at UFC 301. But I don't know if there's much of an appetite for that fight since you just saw it 2 months ago and it was not all that competitive. So if Muhammad Makhachev goes in there and beats Alex Perez tomorrow and does so convincingly and without any damage taken, is he the automatic phone call here? Is he the you're fighting for a belt kid, or do you think they'll go back to Royval because he's more of a established name, if you will?
This is got interesting, right? With Royval making his comments today saying he's good, I'm ready to go. It shouldn't be. I'm happy to stand opposed to AK and he can have his time and defend the choice. Brandon Royval does not deserve a title shot. I know that they were going to give Brandon Moreno one if he won and he didn't. And so ipso facto, Royval gets it. That's not quality logic in any way. And they shouldn't. Moreno didn't really deserve a title fight. They were just going to do it because, you know, it was fun fight, competitive, big name champions, yada, yada. Royval didn't lose to Alejandro Pantoja a while ago. He lost to him 2.5 months ago. Like, it will be less than 6 months if they do this. Like, if at 301 they do it, it's, hey, and that fight wasn't competitive. It's not like he lost a nip-tuck affair. He got just totally dominated less than 6 months ago for them to run it back. And credit to him, he is doing the things he can to make it seem compelling. I'll never be held down again. Okay. Like, you could say that, but, like, I don't think you wanted to be held down last time either. And then look what happened. It's not like you consented to that fight. It was imposed upon you. And one win, a split decision win that I personally did not score for you, though. It's not a robbery. Like, that's just not – that. Don't do it. Especially when their first fight was also not like – at least with Moreno and Pantoja, their first fight was – like a lifetime ago, right? So it is a more sellable. Yeah, they've fought three times already, but two of those were like way back. Their first fight was in 2021. Like, he's had his ass beat by Pantoja twice in the amount of time that, like, you could have a child who's barely walking and talking. It is, we don't need to do this. Whereas Makhachev, maybe it's a little too early, right? Like, he gets Perez. He doesn't have a top five win, but he's got a top 10 win now. I don't care. Just run it. Like, this dude's young. I'm trying to figure out what, like, where he will be at in the youngest champions if he gets in at 301. Because I think he will be the third youngest champion if he pulls it off behind Jose Aldo and John Jones. I think he would still be under Josh Barnett. And it's actually possible with John Jones on the days, right? Because John was 23 years and 200 some odd days. So it's in the realm of play, even though I think he would miss it by a little bit. So, yeah, if Muhammad Makhachev gets a big finish here, he should get the title fight. But, I mean, Royval has at least made it a real question with his statements.
AK, same question for you. We heard what Brandon Royval had to say, or at least we got to see it in the Twitter world. Is he automatic if Alex Perez somehow pulls this off? What happens if Alex Perez wins this fight? Then what do we do? Is Alex Perez getting a title shot? Where are we going with this? Is Brandon Royval in if Perez wins? Where do we go from here?
I mean, that makes things pretty easy. I don't know if you go with Perez. Nope. Again, but like Jed said, like, by the logic of the Mexico City main event, it seemed like Brandon Moreno was being poised to, you know, get the title fight. And then just because Royval beat him, does that mean Royval is supposed to get it? And same logic here. It's like, we think Makhachev, if he stays undefeated and puts on impressive performance against a guy who's fought for the title before, and Alex Perez, but then Alex Perez beat him. Does he get what would have been Makhachev's opportunity? And I don't think it works that way. I really don't think the matchmakers look at things that way. They certainly do set up matchups occasionally where it's like, oh, either guy wins, we're in the money, they move on. You know, we'd be happy to see either of these guys get the title opportunity. With Moreno, they definitely expected him to win in Mexico City to set up that rematch. And on Saturday, they're probably hoping Makhachev does the business against Alex Perez and either, I mean, at the very least finishes him. But if he could go like, you know, be way more aggressive than usual and finish him in the first round, then the UFC, hey, if he's healthy, sign him up, 301. We've got our main eventer. Perez, it's going to be a little bit tougher. He would be a fresh. Oh, I don't know. Sorry, I was going to say he would be fresh. He wouldn't be a fresh. It's been a loss since we saw him fight. I forgot his very last fight. He lost to Pantoja and pretty quickly. So that's arguably almost a tougher sell than Moreno and Royval, which just sounds weird because he's only lost to him once, and now we're about to be two down, and Moreno's three down. The whole Pantoja, like, the way he got to the title really kind of screwed up his run now because he did it the right way. He beat all the other contenders. Unfortunately, those contenders are now still the same contenders, and now he's being asked to cycle through some of them again. So it's really kind of messed up, but I'd be highly doubtful if Perez got the chance. Maybe 35-second knockout of Makhachev, fire promo, sure, you get the matchmakers thinking, but he's also just so unreliable. He's probably the leader in missed, withdrawn fights. Some of them his fault, some of them not his fault. In the past, 2 years, I don't know if there's anyone who can match his
Matt
inactivity. Matt Schnell, yeah. The man he was matched up with, three times. Paulo Costa and Chimaev. I'm pretty sure Perez and Schnell put those guys to shame. So that's the other reason. He's just not reliable, and you would end up having Makhachev or Val on standby anyway. So is it cynical to say whichever fighter takes less money? I know they're locked into contracts anyway, so it doesn't really work that way. It's not like they can they can say, oh, I'll fight for less to get this main event. I would hope they can't do that. I don't know if they would try to negotiate pay-per-view points because I assume those are not guaranteed, whether it's Royval or whoever. So maybe if one fighter asks for pay-per-view points and one of them doesn't, they probably go with the guy who doesn't ask for it. It's such a crappy way to look at it. But if we are trying to figure out how are they going to make a determination between Makhachev, assuming he wins, and Royval, assuming he is actually healthy, as he mentioned on social media, it may just come down to cost effectiveness. I hate to put it that way, but I think people will be surprised how many of these big fights do kind of tend to come to that sometimes.
Guys, so I've been doing some math.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
If Muhammad Makhachev wins, gets the title fight, and then beats Alejandro Pantoja, he will be the third youngest champion in UFC history. He will miss John Jones by 15 days.
Yeah.
So if he does it, it will be 8,644 days. 8,659 days to John Jones is 8,644 days. Jose Aldo, who is unofficially it, but actually is the youngest champion because WC was owned by Zuffa, featherweight champion, same, was 8,307 days. So 2 weeks separate him from John Jones. Also, he would be the first UFC champion born in the 2000s, which would be pretty cool. Eventually that will be certainly that will happen, right? Someone may never pass John Jones. There will be a champion born in the 2000s eventually, and he could be the first.
Those are great math, first of all. Top-notch math, Jed.
Thank you.
I want to say, I think Makhachev's had the right attitude about all this too. I was listening to his media day on Wednesday, and someone kind of jokingly asked, did you talk to the UFC at all about maybe getting you and if you win, you and Pantoja getting pushed up to UFC 299 next week, and then you can beat the record? And Makhachev was like, if they wanted to give me the record, they would have booked me in a title fight sooner. It was a very real answer. And and the way I said it makes it sound like he was frustrated. No, he was he was just smiling. He's like, yeah, it's what I wanted. It would have been a cool record to have, but the goal is just to win the title anyway. If I don't get the record, I don't care. If the UFC wanted me to get it, they could have given me a chance. They didn't give me a chance. We move on with life. So I like his attitude about it. And that might be another reason. Hey, I don't know. Maybe attitude will factor into it. It often doesn't when it comes to booking UFC fights, but maybe for young Makhachev, that'll be one of the factors that gets him the UFC 301 headliner.
It's also just like a meaningless record, right? Like the splitting of hairs between those two, right? Of like, 2 weeks. Okay. Like that's functionally, that's the same. They were the same age at the time that they won it. And, you know, John wasn't even supposed to get the title fight. You know, he steps in. That's so, yeah. But no, it's a good attitude for him to have. It will be incredibly impressive regardless of whether he is the youngest champion or not.
Especially if he beats freaking Pantoja.
Oh,
would be insanity. It would be unbelievable. Last thing, we'll go to the peeps. Just my thoughts on this. I think if Makhachev wins, he gets the shot. If he doesn't, I don't think Brandon Royval is getting it. And I hate to even say this, and I don't think the UFC is going to be overly thrilled with this, but I actually think he'd be probably the best foil in this situation. I think Manel Kopp probably gets it. I think they get
it. Yeah. Let's go.
He'll go in there and just talk a bunch of shit about Brazil and be the ultimate heel and get booed out of the building and make this as interesting as possible from a promotional standpoint. Even though things could get a little weird and dark, I do think Cap's the backup call, even though he missed weight in his last fight. I just think this might have turned out so good for Manel Kopp. He didn't have to fight Mateus Nicolau a second time. He didn't have to avenge a loss he had early in his UFC career. He misses weight and could get a freaking title fight. I mean, what a road that would be.
It happened.
UFC, do the thing. I don't care if Makhachev wins. If you can talk yourself into Kopp, do Kopp. Like, I know he blew weight. I know that he's not like the most professional man ever, and that this should have been a layup for him. All he had to do was make weight. I don't care. We had already gotten ourselves hyped into it of like Pantoja versus Kopp, Brazil versus Portugal in Brazil. Kopp's going to say some really out of pocket shit. That place is going to be electric. The Vuamo hair chants are going to be just deafening through the TV. Do that, and then Makhachev can't be the youngest champion anyway, so whatever, do Kopp. Also, I have a future bet on Kopp to be champion, so do Kopp. That would be great for me.
Or you do what we talked about on BTL, and you have Kyoji Horiguchi like signed, sealed, and delivered, and
also
on the back in case of emergency.
To me, that sounds great.
Try him out there.
That seems more likely to me than the Kopp one. They're just like, all right, let's pull the trigger on getting Kyoji back and we'll just run him in there. Which would suck for Pantoja to get got in Brazil, but that would also be electric. So flyweight's fun as hell, man.
Yeah. All right.
No wrong way.
Let's go to the peeps. Obviously we got Umar fighting, and that's a big deal. He's fighting as Jed pointed out on No Bets Barred, a very good fighter, a dog that nobody really knows. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one for Umar. If he's not getting like a named ranked fighter, this is about as bad as it could get for him, but I still expect him to win, but I'm sure we'll get questions about that. So let's bring in the waffle eater himself, E. Casey Lydon.
That fight, Umar and Beksat, has shades of Armin Islam. Like, I think Beksat's going to give him a fight. I think he's going to give Umar a fight, but I do think Umar's going to win.
Comparison. Do you guys follow the Jay Petrie stuff about Beksat?
Yeah. His record is not his record. No, it's the opposite. It's almost the opposite. They said they actually found
like, yes and no.
Yes and no. It's true. They found fights that they think could have been counted like as MMA fights and should have been his record, but they also found fights that are on his record that they feel like maybe. So it's both. They felt like they could have taken some away. They could have added some. So they're kind of.
Oh, you didn't see the update this morning, did you, AK?
No, what
Jay put another update. So like his record on Tapology 17-1, and that's not like accurate, but it's somewhere between like 11-14-1 of actual MMA fights, but also because he competed a lot in Kazakhstan under and I forget the name of, I could pull it up here in a second, in an organization with a specific rule set which limits grappling to like 60-second exchanges. He still won those fights, but they're not like true MMA fights. But also there were some true MMA fights that like didn't register. The end result is his resume is not like quite as gaudy, but he has more wins in a similar combat sports discipline than are even on his resume. And he's still quite good, but it's just been a pretty interesting journey down what combat looks like in other parts of the world, you know?
Yeah. Sherdog settled on 14-1, and they're kind of like, you know what, this is just this is a good number. Like, we're just going to say we had 14-1, we're going to stick with 14-1. But if
they've settled on 15-1 now, probably this morning, because they reached out to a bunch of people and his manager and got some clarification, and they were like, yeah, some of these fights were under the whatever the rule set is. I can't find it right now.
Oh no, it's 11-1 now. It's 11-1 on Sherdog. What's going on?
He just lost six fights, disappeared.
It's now 16-1 on top.
Jay's tweet as of 20 minutes ago is, this is about Maxim. Sorry. So it's just been a very interesting thing about, like, this isn't to say that he cannot fight. It's just that what we call MMA versus other things. And it's been a very interesting journey down that road.
I'm so confused.
It's kind of weird. Like, as when MMA becomes more worldwide, I feel like the records are becoming more like kickboxing records, where, like, until you're just not sure on kickboxing records, you're just kind of like, okay, just sure. You know, I feel like a lot of MMA is kind of, we're going to be getting to that point soon, especially, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so many different rule sets and exhibition matches. In fact, like, tough matches don't count, but like, they were fights. I don't know.
They're not unified, which is weird. And I want to ping Jay about this and talk with him afterwards, because, like, Sherdog and Tapology, they still use, like, other fights that aren't contested under the unified rules, particularly old school fights. Like, Shudo has had weird rule sets for 30 some odd years or whatever, and like half of the shoot fighting stuff that, like, Ken Shamrock, etc., did, like, Boss Rudin's record is 22-1 or something, and a lot of that is contested under Pancras rules, which aren't even remotely like, honestly, Pancras rules are about the same as what it appears that Beksat was competing under. So it's just a very weird space.
All right.
Well, let's take some questions from the peeps here. We got like 12 minutes.
Okay.
I got to go pick my kid up. So
let's get to these super chats then. First,
yes, let's get to the super chats.
First super chat right here. Boop.
Dave, hey Jed, how impressive was Malkin's performance? First three division champ. Can't wait to see him in your rankings in middleweight. Appreciate the content. Yes, RDR, the darling of MMA Fighting's rankings, not that long ago. Probably now out of the rankings, and Malkin just continues to be a badass. Jed, your reaction.
Because, I mean, David then said that he was trying to trigger me. Yes, RDR was the darling of me in the rankings. You know who else was? Anatoly Malkin, baby. I have been driving the Malkin bandwagon as well. This was a no-lose scenario for me. Look, we were actually talking about it off air. I don't think we should rank him. I think we're going to rank him at middleweight. I just truly do not believe that man could ever make 185 pounds and compete. But one is dumb, and we've already – you know, we're already in this room. We have made this deal with the devil, so we got to dance with him. So he's going to get a middleweight ranking for me. It's probably going to be pretty high, because if we're pretending he's a middleweight, I'm going to pretend that he'd beat the hell out of most middleweights out there. So, I mean, shouts to RDR. He was always a fun fighter who, you know, had severe limitations, and Malkin is really well poised to do that. I still think RDR could be pretty competitive against a lot of the top middleweights out there, but, you know, not what's going to happen. So
we do have to frame this properly, that that one of the two titles is like a 225 pound title. That's their light heavyweight. Light heavyweight title is 225. Heavyweight is 265. And then their middleweight is 205. So he has like an additional weight class to play around with that other promotions just don't have. So yes, he is a three division champion, mad respect, but I will still put a slight asterisk next to it. I still want to see someone win the three titles in the divisions that are, you know, that are promoted by the majority of organizations, because we have not seen that. It's a hell of a thing to do. He also beat the same guy twice for two of them. He's also a very good fighter, but he also beat the same guy twice for two of them. So a little asterisk. Great fighter. Clearly not at middleweight the way most people would think of it, but it was an amazing achievement for him today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, respect to Juan Archuleta, who was the king of the cage, lightweight, featherweight, and bantamweight champion. So,
there was somebody else who did three in like Titan FC or something.
I'm sure, on a regional.
Shorty Torres.
I mean, you just said king of the cage. King of the cage is the regional MMA.
King is king of the cage. King, all the cages.
All the cages. Yeah.
It's in the name.
Yeah.
I think it's Shorty.
It's happened a couple of times. The Shorty Torres maybe did it too. I mean, it's still an achievement no matter what. Yeah. But yeah, cruiserweight's not a real division. So he's a two-division champion that we're going to treat as a three-division champion. It's fun.
Like if UFC had a 225 division, John Jones would have won that title too. So, I mean, John Jones.
Randy Couture would have easily won that title.
Randy Couture, yeah. Daniel Cormier. These guys would have been three division champions years ago. So we got a little caveat.
Everyone who follows MMA knows that anything above 185 pounds is all actually the same. And it's all bad.
it's honestly 205 and up.
Yeah. Middleweight and then heavyweight is everything
else. Headline
else.
Apex cards. Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Dave. Got a comment from Lazy Bed.
Super chatting with you, Dave.
Lazy Bed, this Apex card is 4-play for $2.99. I'm not reading the rest, but yes.
I mean, we're already demonetized.
Yeah, after AK, you take over. Read it, AK.
Yeah.
I won't.
This is what you do. This is what
combat
you do.
Combat Uruguay.
Combat Love Fest. We'll go with that.
Is that how you would describe the word that's being...
Love Fest.
I mean, a festival for music is a whole bunch of bands, so.
It's true. I'm not sure that there's a lot of love in this particular endeavor, but, you know, we don't have to get into the weeds there.
Yeah.
Jiu-Jitsu is a love fest. Yeah. It's all about eye contact. All right, moving on.
Next super chat.
We just, anyone listening to this and not watching, you have to go back to what the hell we're talking about. Oh, okay. I'm so glad somebody asked this. Market Zero Dude 41. Jed, why is old man Campbell McLaren so mad at you? I mean, I know the answer to this question because he's been mad at every single media member at some point. But please tell us what happened.
I don't know, Campbell. I hope everything's okay with you and your family, and I hope Combate Americas is doing as well as you say it is. I truly have no idea. I do not know what triggered him. I send out a prompt every week for, hey, you got questions about stuff so I can answer for the Monday mailbag column? And for whatever reason, this week he was just like, I got a question. After, by the way, it's still on like Tuesday. This is after the Monday column. It's like, why don't you talk about Combate Americas despite the fact that we do more ratings than the PFL versus Bellator or the UFC? And I was just like, hey, man, be well. You don't need to come at me personally. And then we got into I wouldn't even call it Twitter beef. He kept trying to fight me, and I kept just being like, bro, this is sad. Just do better. And that's where we're at. So I don't know what's going on, man. But Campbell, I mean this sincerely because I love all combat sports promotions. I hope that Combate is doing everything that you say it's doing. That's great. If it is, if it's pulling in the numbers you say, that's terrific. It does not do that for us. And that's why we don't cover it. I swear to God, there's not a conspiracy out there to keep Combate down. We follow the traffic. That's why we cover things like Jake Paul, though many people probably don't want that for us. And if you start doing traffic, we'll start covering you. But that's just where we're at, my man. And try and be happier in life. I don't know.
Yeah, look, Kombatje is definitely having some sort of success, and the cards are fun from what I've seen. And some of the fighters, they're producing some good fighters. We've seen the fighters from there go to other bigger shows. But Jed, you just had him when, if anyone who didn't follow this, go to Jed's Twitter and go check his exchange with Campbell. You had him when he's saying, "Why don't you write about Kombatje?" And then you said, you kind of started explaining why, and then he's like, "Well, I doubt you have 300 readers to your name." And then you're like, "Why are you? If that's the case, why do you care whether I covered it or not?" And I'm like, the discussion is over right there. Wow, like immediately, it's like, "What, Campbell? This should have been over." It's like, okay,
I was trying not to be like a dick to him, but he was making it really hard not to be one.
that was sort of the end of it, like, right there for me.
I didn't want the answer to be because no one cares, but that's why we don't cover it.
Unfortunately, yeah, our reader base,
our fan base doesn't. Other people might care.
Yeah, me.
But that is not translatable for us, so it doesn't matter to us.
We encourage people to watch it. We always encourage people to watch stuff outside of the UFC.
I want them to succeed. I think we all want Kombatje to succeed, and like another player in the game would be great. I think everyone would want it.
Give us some highlight reels, man. KSW is like the most fun promotion in the world right now, and like we don't really even cover them. And they're like probably way bigger. They're definitely way bigger. What am I even saying?
Yeah. I would say probably is not the correct word to use.
They're definitely way bigger. Huge. And they're the most fun probably MMA organization out there. Like their stadium shows are a blast. But we do their finishes. Like if there's crazy finishes, we write them up. We're paying attention. You know, give us some finishes. Give us some shit to get excited about.
I've just never said a bad thing about Kombatje. And like, I could understand and accept this if like Scott Coker had come at me. It was like, "Hey, why are you such an ass about Bellator?" I would have at least got it. And we could have had that conversation. But like, I've just never said a bad thing about Kombatje. I don't think about you. So I don't know where this came from.
Yes. Well, there you go.
It's been a fun week on Twitter.
I do like their mat. I like their kind of that baby blue mat. Do they still use
their fights are fun.
I like the mat. I kind of like their little studio instead of a big arena. They have a
quality regional promotion. Yeah.
They've also, from what I understand, have changed. Like, they've had the Bellator problem where one year it's on this network. Next year you can stream it here, and now this year it's on something else. Like, it's too much.
That's in the States, right? It stays the same. In Latin America, right? But in the States,
it's bouncing around.
I don't live in Latin America, so I have no idea. But
just wondering if we knew.
So, stay on one network. Help us, for God's sake.
Help us. All right. Thank you very much, Mark at 0. Any other super chats? We're going to fly through these three. This is from the same person, but he wants the super chat, so we're going to fly through these last
three. Killers.
Nope, no
Killers.
Oh, no. Okay. No Killers.
Jed thought Jairzinho round 1 KO, Loic moneyline plus 950.
I don't hate Jairzinho round 1 KO. You just don't need to parlay it with anything. It's already plus 300, so parlaying, that's the waste. What's Loic moneyline right now? Loic. Plus 150? I don't have a good enough read on that fight to feel confident either way, but I just never parlay underdogs. They're two underdogs. Just bet them separately. You get plenty of value there.
All right.
Mike, 300 super BTL triple threat, please. Also, Jed, thoughts on BC's filibuster technique? Have Herb Dean on next time to stop the stalling.
Oh, we all filibuster, so that's fine. Like, sometimes you just got to. It's part of the game. No issue with that. Triple threat's interesting.
We can 300 do it.
Threat?
We did, when the show started, I think it was like the 50th rounds. Episode. We did the 50th episode of BTL. AK, you were on that. We did a gauntlet. We had like 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
It was one-on-one. And if you survive, you move on to the next person hopping in. And that person ends up Survivor in the last spot wins it.
Is that how Survivor Series works?
Yeah. No, well, it's a gauntlet.
More like just a gauntlet, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's luck of the draw. Two people start. Then number three comes in. It's more like a Royal Rumble than anything else.
Ish, okay. Yeah.
If we're going to compare it to the WWE pay-per-view names. But we'll do something. Actually, we'll do something.
Where at some point there's six of us yelling at each other on the screen.
Every 2 minutes out. Somebody comes in. Yeah. I love that idea. Maybe we just
Mike's like, all right, you're gone. Over the top.
ETL before it came to MMA fighting was four people. It was four people.
Yeah.
And we eliminated two. So we'll see.
Mike, I think doing a special 300 one's good. I like this. Yeah.
Well,
good idea, Super Samoan.
Yeah, thank you. We got to organize a triple threat somehow of a triple threat BTL with Chatry versus Cameron McLaren versus Don Davis.
Oh my God, would that be the best?
There you go.
That'd be incredible.
I'm not sure that would do ratings, but God, I would love it.
Oh, it would.
It would do ratings. It would. Well, you have 300 readers, so we got 300.
That's, at least. We got three.
We got 300 people.
Well, like 250. I don't even have 300.
Oh, my man.
Awesome. All right, last one.
Let me think about it. And our last Super Chat comment.
Dude, Super Samoan coming in with some ideas.
One more.
I am representing the fighters in the antitrust.
Godspeed.
Let's go.
Godspeed.
Do it.
The Super Samoan legal team.
Right. Don't accept the deal that they're going to offer.
Yeah, take them to court.
No, don't settle. Do not settle.
Do not settle. I really still think they're going to, but don't settle.
Don't settle. If you want significant change, you can't settle.
I mean, you can settle if you get them to adjust their contract policies, but I don't think that's going to be part of the WME settling plan. So.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. All right, hit the music.
It's going to be the most legal story in history where this lawsuit went on for 7 years to finally get settled for a non-disclosed amount of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, people wonder why.
Legal stuff. All right,
Jed, why aren't you an attorney? Because this is what happens. Worst profession. Well,
thank you all very much. Sorry, we had to cut a little bit short. I got to go pick up the kid at school, and I'm not within walking distance anymore. So, got to go take care of that. So, thank you all very much. Casey and I back at 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow for the People's Pre-Fight Show. Then we'll have the post-fight show immediately following UFC Vegas 87. We got a lot going on tomorrow. Jake Paul and Amanda Serrano are boxing, not each other, but on the same card. And then we got Game Bread Bare Knuckle tomorrow, too, with JDS versus Alan Belcher.
And it's on to the biggest week of the year so far.
Fight Circus?
No. Ngannou Joshua plus 299.
Oh, yeah, that's next week. Yes, next week.
That's, yeah, I'm very excited then about it's that. On to that.
Yes. Yes, that it's on to that. And as I announced on Heck of a Morning, back-to-back watch parties next week. So Friday we're doing one, Saturday we're doing one, so get excited. Until tomorrow, everybody, for AK, Casey, Jed Bashu, we love you all. See you next time.
Love y'all!
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.